This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour, and lots going on. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. Plenty of sunshine today, no rain in the forecast, a high of 81. Currently 77 at O'Hare and 73 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco and Chris, the Dow is now lower by just 19 points. That's a loss of less than 0.1%. The Nasdaq on track to finish higher, once again improving on its highest ever close last night, gaining 23 points or 0.3%, and trading at 77.27. The S&P up a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is lower by 0.25%. Investors are factoring the potential for a merger wave across industries, thanks to the federal judge's decision to allow the AT&T takeover of Time Warner. That's not the only merger seen getting a green light. Comcast is expected to bid for 21st Century Fox's entertainment assets as early as today. And investors are waiting on another ruling, this one from the Federal Reserve. Policymakers right about now wrapping up their June meeting. We will hear from Chair Jay Powell in about an hour. Wall Street is fully expecting a quarter point interest rate hike this time and wants to hear how many more hikes the Fed has planned. Also, a reading on wholesale level inflation earlier today came in hotter than expected. That follows a similar move for consumer prices yesterday. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Lisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we have a lot of topics to look at. The AT&T ruling, the president's trade war, the guidance from the Fed, and some comments from Alan Greenspan.
And we'll have David Jones joining us to talk about the impact of that expected Fed rate hike. All of that and loads more coming up on today's Noon Business Hour.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Now that a judge has ruled that the proposed mega merger between AT&T and Time Warner can proceed, there are huge implications for the media industry, and we're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, the Fed is set to release its decision on interest rates next hour. While the latest report on producer prices is out today, we're joined by Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg in New York. Carl, do you expect any surprises from the Fed?
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for having me back on the program. I think it's going to be a fairly straightforward FOMC meeting. The 25 basis point or a quarter percentage point rate increase is broadly expected by market participants. The bigger questions will be with respect to future Fed policy. Now, my expectation is that we'll see one more rate increase this year. Some market expectations look for an additional rate hike, not only in September, but another one in December. I think that might be a little too aggressive for a Fed, which is really trying to just tiptoe very slowly towards a less accommodative interest rate stance.
Interesting comments this morning from former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan, who says that the economy is already slowing down, and he used that word that we used to hear quite a bit, stagflation.
Well, I don't think we're slowing down just yet. We have a significant tailwind pushing the economy forward over the next couple of years, in fact. So we should see growth north of 3% in the current quarter. It's possible that we could even top 4% in the quarter. But that's a little bit of a reflection or a ricochet off of a soft Q1. But if we look at the underlying trend, growth is accelerating, and we'll see the fastest growth in 2018 that we have seen in this economic cycle. Part of that's due to the tax cuts. But as those tax cuts start to sunset around 2020, we will see some moderation in the pace of growth. I don't think we're slowing just yet, though.
And what do you see, I'm thinking, other aspects of the economy that might give the Fed either pause for future rate hikes or might have them continue hiking them?
Well, it's really going to boil down to the pace of inflation. So we see inflation pressures gradually accelerating, which they should be doing as the pace of growth is accelerating. And so the Fed can afford to move slowly as long as inflation is picking up slowly. If inflation pressures show signs that they might be boiling over with the unemployment rate as low as it is, for example, then that could push the Fed to move more aggressively. Conversely, if the inflation pressures aren't picking up, then the Fed is going to move even more slowly with future interest rate hikes. And this is not a Fed that looks like they have to push the brake pedal too hard. So they're going to try to get rates to the sweet spot of neutral, which they estimate around 3%, and maybe just stop the hikes in that vicinity.
Now, let's talk about the impact of the trade wars on the economy.
Well, this is a big concern of the Fed, and the minutes of the last meeting, as well as the Fed's beige book, show that private sector individuals and businesses are concerned about the impact of trade tariffs, but it seems to be a compartmentalized concern for the time being. That being said, with the economy accelerating due to the tax cuts, the tariffs pose a headwind, and so the Fed is trying to evaluate this tug of war between the two, and it certainly would be a shame if all of the economic gains from the tax reforms are really squandered as what I'll call cannon fodder in a escalating trade war.
So thanks so much, Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg in New York. Coming up, what the AT&T Time Warner merger could mean for consumers and also what it could mean for other M&A activity.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The merger between Time Warner and AT&T has been given the thumbs up by a federal judge. Let's look at what's expected to come out of the landscape-changing deal with Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group here in Chicago. Tim, yesterday we had you on the show and we weren't quite sure what the judge would do. Now we know. What do you make of the judge's decision?
Cisco, I'm quite surprised. Not necessarily that the deal has effectively been blessed by the judge, but the fact that there were no conditions put on it. It was basically a clean sweep for AT&T and Time Warner legally in terms of the pursuit of this merger. So there are no conditions on this merger. This is a full and clean victory, so to speak. Now, that said, it does not mean that the Department of Justice will not seek a stay in that decision and or seek to relitigate it at a higher level. But for the time being, it's a pretty dramatic and sweeping decision in favor of this merger and some of the logic behind it.
You mentioned the fact that the government could appeal, but does the decision, as you're laying it out, it sort of doesn't give them a hook or at least an easy hook for them to be able to appeal?
No, I think there is some debate, frankly. So the judge went to extraordinary lengths yesterday to actually say, do not read into this decision outside of the context of this decision and assume that this is the new necessarily broad law of the land, per se. I'm not sure everybody is heeding that because everybody today is talking about what the floodgates look like now that everybody seems to want to do mergers and acquisitions. I think the feeling, though, is that it does at least temporarily signal to the marketplace and legally that the idea of vertical integration of media assets and data and technology is appropriate and okay. I think, though, what it's going to bring up is in the near term are further challenges to the construct of what that law looks like and maybe rethinking that in the years ahead. But for now, it's all systems go for people who want to put pieces together.
And if it does go ahead, how will Americans be affected by this?
Well, I mean, we could have an entire hour devoted to this, but we will save you and spare you that. The logic really is around a couple of different sort of components. One is concentration of choices. And arguably, when you put pieces together like this, vertically or horizontally, there is going to be less consumer choice. There's also some other intriguing things. Earlier this week, there was another ruling that that went into effect. That was the repeal of net neutrality, which essentially means that consumers now can be discriminated by their usage of internet service, meaning that their network operators can actually get in the way of what sites and what video stream that they can get to. And you combine that with this decision and the power of folks like AT&T and Comcast and perhaps Verizon to come, married with content to control and frankly limit choice amongst consumers and maybe raising prices along the way. It's certainly very possible that those are some of the things that come out of this. There may be some consumer benefit too, but I think it's hard to sort of put that first and foremost when you look at the concentration of power.
What exactly is a vertical merger?
Vertical merger really is when companies that are related but don't compete against each other directly. So in this case, AT&T being a network provider for wireless and internet connection services, and a content company in the case of Time Warner, which produces and creates and distributes programming. Right, those are not overlapping markets. They are basically best understood as partners of each other. And this is a merger of those two partners in a more vertically integrated way, as opposed to, say, a Time Warner deciding to merge with, say, Viacom. That would be more what is known as a horizontal. That's just more concentration of power in the same industry, same business.
You mentioned that the judge wanted to make it very clear that this wasn't a broadening or solidifying of more and more companies, that they can do the same thing. But naturally, it seems like there'll be other media companies that do try to do the same thing.
I think that's to be expected. And obviously, a lot of people are sort of overlaying their anticipation for such. But look, I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on television. But the idea is that the concept of vertical and horizontal mergers, both within the media industry as well as more broadly, right, in the healthcare space, for example, I think is very much under scrutiny now and certainly is in need of revisiting, because I think I would argue the logic for these mergers and the consideration of such are predicated on a world that was way before the internet even was invented. And I think we'll see some of that sort of play out in the years to come after this deal.
Tim Hanlon, always appreciate you being on the show. Tim is founder and CEO of the Vertere Group here in Chicago. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, managing your money in a thriving economy, setting yourself up to win. We'll also check the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets now, sponsored by Uber. And here is Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by 25 points. NASDAQ still up by 22 at 7,726. That's a high if it were to close at that level right now. The S&P is off a fraction. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index down 0.25%. Stock in Potbelly is on the rise. That's helping our local benchmark after the restaurant chain named a former Papa John's executive to its C-suite. We've got crude oil futures up 0.33% to $66.79. With a look at the grains, we go to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
After being up a hair early, we are lower across the board on worries about our administration putting tariffs on China on Friday. Corn at the moment down 2 in July at 375.5. November beans down 14.5 at 960 after being down as much as 18. And wheat down 18.25 at 516.25. Lower across the board on China worries. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday, making sure that you're making solid money decisions in a growing economy.
The Federal Reserve will make its announcement on interest rates. In about a half hour, we'll get a preview from an expert on the Fed.
A joint federal and local drug investigation on Chicago's West Side nets more than 50 arrests.
The U.S., Canada, and Mexico will jointly host the 2026 Soccer World Cup. Chicago, though, not among the cities where the games will be played.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down about 21, the NASDAQ up 22, and the S&P 500 off by a fraction.
Sunshine throughout your day, really beautiful, heading to a high of 81 right now, 77 degrees. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. As we mentioned moments ago, the 2026 Soccer World Cup will be held in North America, The U.S., Canada, and Mexico are sharing the hosting duties. However, Chicago is not going to be part of the party. To talk about it, we welcome Danny Ecker, a reporter for Crane's Chicago Business. Danny, soccer fans, of course, are wondering, why isn't Chicago part of this party?
Sure. So, obviously, it's great news for soccer fans overall here, but we knew that actually as of March when the city announced that it was not going to be part of the bid. Basically, this was all started last year when Soldier Field was named as one of 32 potential venues on this list of venues that were released as part of the bid. And then back in March, the city basically said, you know what, we are not going to be part of this. And the reason they cited was that there's basically a lack of transparency in terms of the costs associated with hosting. So FIFA, which is the international governing body for soccer, they have some different demands, and the city didn't get specific at the time, but you know, in terms of what kind of guarantees the host cities have to provide for safety and security and other costs associated with it. So basically the word from Chicago and other cities, actually, Minneapolis is one of them that pulled out in the spring, said this is a little too risky and we don't want to be a part of it.
The Noon Business Hour, by the way, presented by Old Second Bank. Danny, it actually, for fans who are disappointed, it does sound like there was at least an effort for fiscal responsibility in staying out of this.
Yeah, it sounds like it, you know, and obviously we weren't party to any of these negotiations. There hasn't been much written about exactly what kind of guarantees there are talking about here, but absolutely. I mean, I think Chicago also has proven in recent years that it's, you know, obviously been a destination to host some more international soccer matches, more sporting events. I mean, that's been the focus of the Chicago Sports Commission for the past few years, and they've had success doing that. So while obviously the World Cup is a global event that gets a lot of eyeballs, I think there are other ways that the city's able to kind of find, you know, revenue and tourism-generating sporting events to get them here, and this was one that I thought maybe wasn't worth the risk.
Danny Ecker, always good to talk with you. Danny is a reporter at Crane's Chicago Business.
Well, let's talk about another sport, and that's on Wall Street. Matt Shapiro is president of MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, things are kind of calm today, or at least the numbers are. There's so many influences right now on the markets.
Exactly right, Chris. But, I ask listeners out there, if I were to ask you that the NASDAQ is up 10% this year, small caps are up 10% this year, I don't think a lot of people would realize that after all that we've been through over the past 3 months. And I did notice a subtle change in the market the past week. It was just a better tone in the average stock. Obviously, so far, we've got a good month of June. But it's not just Amazon and Google this month. It's spread around to your average stock. And today, of course, the synergies with all the mergers of AT&T, Time Warner, that's cleared a lot of catalysts for the market. So you have CVS, which is involved in a potential merger with Aetna up, and even those gross consumer products companies, you know, your Procter & Gamble's, your Kraft's have been moving up this month. So the tone of the market is much, much better.
And what does that say to you then about the future?
Well, as I said, to stay consistent, Chris, is the best prescription always for investors, you know, even during this tough correction. If you stayed consistent with the market segments you like, you were rewarded. Now today, of course, we're going to wait on the Fed next 45 minutes. Expected 100%, they will move up the federal funds target rate to 2%. My expectation is that they will indicate that they will do two more rate hikes this year, moving that Fed funds rate to 2.5% by the end of the year, which is, you know, a little bit of a drag on stocks, truly. You know, for 3 years or then, you can get about 3%. That's a little bit of drag on companies, you know, your legacy old stocks. But there's a lot of interesting names out there that are kind of percolating up now that the market's doing better. For instance, Blue Apron, where you order your own food, has potential for a merger. Perhaps Starbucks would like to buy it. Stitch Fix, where people can order, millennials especially, order their clothes. That stock's up 20% over the past week on great earnings. So there's things that are percolating up, Chris, and I think investors who stayed the course are smiling for today.
Now that a judge has said AT&T and Time Warner can be connected, any other, we've already talked about possible media mergers, are there any in other sectors that might take off?
Cisco, yeah, it's a big day for that. I mean, CVS obviously comes to mind in the media names, but it's broader. There's a great need for mergers, especially in the healthcare space. For instance, the big biotechnology companies like Biogen, like Amgen, Celgene, they're all at relatively low valuations, some of the lowest in a long time. And, you know, because of the pressures on our whole healthcare system that's developing with the changes, you know, that are rapidly commencing, you know, this sort of clears the way for mergers in all parts of that business that I think will be very important.
Let's talk about a stock that's just getting hammered today, H&R Block, down right about 18% right now. What's going on?
Oh, no. You know, Cisco, you cannot predict, investors out there, if you happen to own H&R Block, you can't predict when a stock just something happens and it just drops. Everyone likes H&R Block's product. They have great software. People use accountants less and less. It leads you through very complex tax calculations. People seem very happy. But, of course, they had a very soft revenue and earnings forecast directly blaming the new Tax Cut and Jobs Act, simplifying taxes. But I think it's just overall software pressures. So I think if you like the model of H&R Block, I mean, it's been a pretty good business. Software that helps people do taxes, I think that's still going to do there. So if you're a little brave, I think you can buy it today.
Always nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital here in Chicago. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, money management in a hot economy.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. The economy is in high gear with corporate profits up and the unemployment rate at an 18-year low. It's not necessarily reflected in people's bank accounts, though. We welcome Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. Mark, so the economy is doing well. Basically, what we want to try to help people do is set themselves up because things are going well.
Absolutely, Cisco. And so a recent report by the Federal Reserve that took a look at the financial health of households, it showed some surprising statistics, actually, to me. One that wasn't all that surprising is still only 25% of working-age adults are not saving in their company retirement plan. And so it's just incredibly important to get started on that. So even if it's just a small dollar amount each month, getting started and having time be on your side is a huge ally. And it doesn't need to come out of your pocket. So a very surprising stat from this report was that only about half of the workers in the survey said they received a pay raise last year. But even worse, only 18% actually asked for a raise. So with companies doing well and profitability up and the economy doing well, should absolutely go into the boss's office, and maybe you don't come out and just say, hey, pay me more money, but to ask how it is that you might be able to further your career, how do I make myself more valuable to my employer, and ask for a raise. And maybe when you get it, go ahead and use that as an opportunity to either start saving in the retirement plan or, even better, increase the savings that you might be doing already.
Now, what if you don't get it? Is this an opportunity to look for another job?
Well, it might be. You know, the employment rate right now is at near 20-year lows, and so it might be an opportunity to go out there and see what else might be available. But clearly, the easier path, provided one enjoys their job, the easier path is to go ahead and ask for a raise. And then I do have to share just a personal experience as well. It's a great time to go out and see what you can do to shave some dollars from your monthly budget. So as we are speaking, my wife is with our kids at our cell phone provider's office asking for a better deal. And you know, it might not be thousands of dollars of savings, but if she's successful on that, every dollar in the monthly budget adds up as an opportunity to contribute towards more savings or debt reduction or clean up those finances.
And that with the help many times of your bank.
So that's also true, Chris. There are I think it's a great time to go back to banking relationships. And if somebody's got a bank account that's got maybe high minimum balances or monthly service fees or a credit card that maybe charges an annual fee that you don't receive rewards for in terms of points or maybe frequent flyer miles on airlines. Absolutely, go back to those financial institutions and ask them what it is that they can do to get rid of some of those costs. They are not the only game in town.
Mark Horner, thanks for being with us. Mark is wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. More on Mark at his website, fairhavenwealth.com. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, a preview of the Fed announcement of interest rates.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Federal Reserve has wrapped up its two-day meeting on interest rates and will release its decision at the top of the hour. We are joined by David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. David, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What will we be understanding? What will we learn from the statement by the Fed?
Well, the one thing we've already bet on, and I think we're betting correctly, that we will see another rate hike at this meeting, meaning that takes us up to 1.75 to 2.0% on the federal funds rate target. I think the key will be in the Fed's discussion, and I see it as being more hawkish. We have a red-hot economy, particularly in that labor market, which the Fed watches most closely, unemployment rate of 3.8%. Labor market is extremely tight, more job offerings than workers available. So I think we can count on, and the Fed will count on, accelerating wages and prices. We also saw a hot producer price index. So my guess would be that our new Fed chairman, and this is his second major meeting. Remember, back in March, he raised rates just after he got into Fed leadership. So a rate hike today, I'm guessing on two more, one in September and one in December, as the Fed tries to get even with the curve. They've been behind the curve in terms of how strong this economy is becoming, and particularly how hot the labor market is.
This is really interesting. Did you hear that Alan Greenspan spoke and said that he's worried about the economy and thinks it's trending backward already?
Yeah, I heard that interview. I tended to agree with some parts and disagree with others. I think he basically understated how strong the economy was. But another point he made, which is very important, is that he did not see major disruption from all of this trade talk business. We'll get some more inflation from the trade talks and the tariffs, but we're far away from a trade war, and I think it will have a minimal effect on GDP, which in the second quarter, the Atlanta Fed estimates to be above 4% in terms of growth. That would be a big increase from the first quarter at 2.2%.
David, the Fed makes its announcement just after the show today, so we're going to have you back tomorrow to kind of break down the Fed's decision and especially the comments by Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. David Jones, chairman at DMJ Advisors based in Denver. A look at the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets, and this is sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Here is Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow lower by 5, NASDAQ up 30, and the S&P gaining 1 point. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sliding 0.25%. Investors are pretty sure we'll get a rate hike from the Federal Reserve in just a few moments here at the top of the hour. And a new look at inflation only supports that move. Producer prices were up more than forecast in May. Tech and media stocks are taking off because of the federal judge's decision to allow the AT&T takeover of Time Warner to proceed. And almost in spite of it, Netflix and Amazon are rising to records, even though AT&T aims to become a more formidable competitor to Netflix and Amazon. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.